Good morning. Have you ever heard of the word diaspora? It comes from an old Greek word and has the meaning of dispersion of nations or the spreading of a group of people from one original country to other countries. And another meaning for the word diaspora is scattering the seeds of plants. From the 19th to the 20th century, many Japanese immigrated to Hawaii and California in the United States and Brazil in South America. In recent years, Japanese live abroad for their work or study. When enough Japanese move to the same area, a small Japanese community is formed that is called Japanese diaspora. In a Japanese government survey conducted in 1997, the results reported that 3.8 million Japanese had moved abroad and been given nationality or permission for permanent residency in their new country. Mr. East, member of our church who is returning to the UK next month, is planning to start a diaspora ministry for the Japanese living there in his home country. In the biblical world, we find examples of diaspora when Jewish people have moved to areas outside of Palestine and communities of Jews have formed in these new countries. And in the Old Testament, diaspora can be seen when many Jews were taken captive and forced to live in foreign lands during the period of Babylonian exile. In the New Testament, we read in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 7, and 1 Peter 1, 1, of the early church believers scattered in Western Asia Minor, now Turkey, who formed Christian communities that were also described by the word diaspora. From this, we can see that the first readers of Peter's letter were believers that were dispersed over Western Asia Minor. Reading 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This morning, let's look together at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 10, to see how believers who have been born again are to live as new members of God's people. And let's look to the words of the Bible to think about our new lifestyle as followers of Christ. And now shall we bow for prayer before we turn to the scripture. Our merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you that we can worship even in this way in our individual homes. Though we are separated, we thank you that we can praise and worship you together as a church, even if we are not in the same room. Thank you for your word. Speak to us. Help us to put into your hands the questions and decisions, problems we may have, that we can have your peace. We thank you for your faithfulness to us and that you always are by our side and that you always do answer our prayers in the best way and at the best time. Speak to us this morning, we ask. May the Holy Spirit be given freedom to work in our hearts. Speak to us and continue to work within us to make us more like Christ, we ask. Speak to us wherever we are. We thank you for this time. We give it to you and we ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, we'll be looking at 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 10. First, looking at growth by the Word of God. Reading verses 2 to 3 once more. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The people who first received Peter's letter had not been believers for very long. Before these people spread out over Western Asia Minor, many of them had gathered in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Acts 2, verses 8 to 11 tells us, when the Holy Spirit was given, there were many gathered in Jerusalem who were not Jews. The book of Acts then tells us in verses 38 and 39 about Peter's message spoken to the people there. Verses 38 and 39. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Many of those who heard Peter speak believed and were saved. But during this period, Christians faced persecution by the leader of the Roman Empire, Emperor Nero. As a result, many of the new believers returned to the hometowns where they had been born. There they sometimes strayed from the teachings of the Bible and were not able to grow much as followers of Christ. This is why Peter commands in chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Psalm 34, verse 8 gives praise and reminds us that we should not forget that the Lord forgave our sins in his mercy and that we have been saved from death and destruction. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. We must not forget God's love and compassion shown to us, and so we are to read God's word, study it, and meditate on it to fully grasp what has been done for us. And let us also ask that the Holy Spirit would help us to grow as Christians as we walk the path that leads to the fulfillment of our salvation in heaven. Now looking at verses 4 to 8, and the point that Christ is our rock and we the Christians are his living stones. Reading verses 4 to 8. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Peter was the first disciple to clearly declare his belief that Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah. Peter's declaration was made in Caesarea Philippi. We can find it in Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 18 then records Christ's words spoken to Peter. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. These words probably never left Peter's mind, and we can imagine that he often thought about their meaning. On this rock I will build my church. Well, what is Christ's church that is mentioned here? It is true that a physical church would need stones and rocks as part of the building materials. But it is clear here that Peter is being encouraged to build up a spiritual church. A spiritual house is referring to God's new temple where God, who is a spirit, will dwell. What is even more important to notice is that the spiritual house that worships the living God is built on Christ our rock. When we believe in Christ, we are saved, and we, Christ's followers, become the living stones that form Christ's spiritual house or church. And this is why Peter encourages the believers in verse 5 by saying, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house." Peter also quotes from Isaiah 28, verse 16 in the Old Testament. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." To build his spiritual house, God has chosen a precious cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And we, Christ's living stones, are then used to be part of God's spiritual house or church. This is why when God's spiritual house, the church, is built, verse 4 encourages us to come to the Lord. When we believe in Christ, he becomes our rock and the foundation upon which we, his living stones, are gathered and used to build his church. And if we trust in the Lord, we will never be disappointed or have to panic. We read earlier Psalm 34, verse 8. Now reading verses 9 and 10 that follow. "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Now looking at verses 9 to 10 and the status or position of Christians. Peter then talks in chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, about the status or position of Christians that make up God's spiritual house or church as Christ's living stones. Reading those verses, verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Verse 9 begins with the phrase, "but you," and this is to contrast with those who are disobedient that were just mentioned in verse 8. In contrast to them, those who have believed in Jesus as their Savior then strive to live in a way that is true to the teachings and commandments of God's word. Peter mentions God's chosen people, the people of Israel, and the role of the priests in the Old Testament. Reading Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." Peter is talking about a new concept different from the Old Testament. There is a new image to God's people, as we see with the living stones being used to form God's spiritual house, the church. And Peter uses this to show the early believers their status and role. The biblical story of God's plan of salvation for mankind had been continuing from the time of Abraham, the father of the Israelites, in Genesis chapter 12. And the description of the people of Israel The high priest, the kingdom, and the holy citizens were the prototype that pointed to the Savior Jesus and the church. There were the new God's people, the church, that made up God's spiritual house and who declared Christ to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Christians that make up this church are Christ's living stones and are a priesthood of all believers. Now we are used to spread the news of God's glory to all that they might be saved and moved from a world of darkness into a world of light. Now reading the second half of 1 Peter 2, verse 9. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God loves everyone in this world, and he doesn't want anyone to be lost, as we read in John 3:16. And so, that everyone can receive eternal life, God's plan of salvation to restore this world fallen into sin is being carried out. And to make this possible, Jesus Christ came into our world to be the Savior of mankind. Those who believe this and ask forgiveness become God's new people and become part of God's church, God's house. I'd like to summarize in closing. We have already come to the ninth week of not having a worship service in our sanctuary. It has been around 2 months without congregation worship together. Preaching to an empty room brings a bit of loneliness and desolate feelings. Without an audience in front of you that responds in real time each week, there is a bit of object loss taking place. But if we change our thinking in a kind of paradigm shift that we talked about last week, the stay-home policy that we are rather unwillingly heeding these weeks has become a situation where we Christians have experienced an example of diaspora, as we have to refrain from coming to church. As we gather to worship as families in our various homes spread out over a vast area, we as a church are going through a time of diaspora that no one could have imagined a few weeks ago. The believers that face persecution from the Roman Empire return to reside in their hometowns in Western Asia Minor. We too are experiencing a smaller and different situation where we each are living out our walks of faith while being separated from our fellow believers here at church. Even though we cannot worship together now as a congregation at church, this does not change our faith. We have believed in Christ as our Savior. We have been reborn. We seek to drink from God's word, and we grow as a result of what we learn from that word. We are still Christ's living stones, and we are still being used to be part of God's spiritual house, his church. Each one of us is a member of God's new people, citizens of his kingdom. We are chosen by God, and we belong to his holy nation with Christ as our royal high priest. God has shown us his wonderful light in the midst of darkness, and now we have opportunities to share the wonder of God's mighty works with others. During this period when we have to stay home, maybe it is an opportune time to pray for family members and neighbors that are not yet saved. God is using this unexpected and bothersome situation where we are separated from our fellow church members to continue to build his spiritual house by daily encouraging, comforting, and leading us. This period of having to stay home is God giving us an opportunity to reconsider and confirm our lifestyles as followers of Christ, chosen by God, and given the task of being his witnesses to others as his priests. This morning, through God's word, we have been shown and have reconfirmed our status as followers of Christ and the role we have been given. May we walk with the Lord in this new week, sensing God's mercy and compassion towards us, and may we continue to be part of building Christ's spiritual house as his living stones in the evangelism and witnessing done by our church that stands with its foundation firmly rooted in Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we praise your name, and we thank you for your message to us from 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 10 this morning. We give you our thanks, most of all, for saving us from the darkness of sin and destruction. You have brought us into your world that shines brightly with your glory. Help us especially during this time of staying home to be able to serve you as those who you have chosen and have made your priests, your witnesses. And help us to share with others the hope of salvation that can bring one out of the darkness and into the light of Christ through his death on the cross. May we serve you as the salt of the earth and a light in this world. During these uncertain times, help us to share the hope one can have in you. Use us in this coming week wherever you have put us, we ask. We thank you for your word this morning. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.